Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Minneapolis is Courtney Nordstrom. Courtney is the Regulatory Counsel and Chief Compliance Officer for Deluxe and is the former host of the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. Courtney, thanks for joining us from the other side of the microphone today.
I'm so happy to be here, Adam. You don't even know. It's like I've come full circle.
That's great. We'll have to sing the whole Circle of Life song. So we're going to talk today about social media, which is something that's been a passion in terms of the nexus between social media and compliance for Courtney for really as long as I've known you. Now, social media has been around for quite some time now in terms of technology, but there's still lags. Are employees starting to get the risks yet, or are we still seeing the same kind of mistakes being made that we saw, say, 5 years ago?
Little of column A, little of column B. So I think employees are getting smarter about what they share on social media. They realize that it's going to follow them throughout their lives and their jobs. But that doesn't stop people who make bad choices from making bad choices. So there is still a lot of posting of inappropriate things, breaching confidentiality, lying to your boss and saying you're out sick and then posting on social media that you're at the beach, things like that. So sometimes people really don't think things through before they post. But I think overwhelmingly, the workforce now has an understanding of the permanence of what is being posted on social media and that employers are looking at it before they offer you a job.
Yeah, and there's certainly more and more examples of stuff people posted years earlier biting them much, much later for what they said. Now, are there any new issues to watch out for? You know, I've seen a lot of those Facebook challenges out there, but thankfully none yet about compliance violations. But is there new stuff that's starting to emerge as issues that people are stumbling over?
So there's new interpretations of some of the National Labor Relations Board rulings, which is kind of changing the relationship between employers and employees as far as social media is concerned. So a lot of people don't think of social media as really protected, but the NLRB has said basically it's a water cooler and they protect a lot of activity on social media because it could be part of griping about your work conditions, wages, et cetera. So under the current administration, they have rolled back some of the protections. So we are seeing those rules loosen a little bit. But it's still pretty wide open for what employees can do on social media and not get in trouble for it. I will say some of the new issues we've had have been around what people are posting and whether or not employees can get terminated or reprimanded for attending rallies of certain groups, participating in certain Facebook groups that may be discriminatory or have an opinion that would violate a company policy if you were to do it at work. So one of the things that came up in the last couple of years is attending these kind of, I call them Nazi rallies, white pride rallies, and people are being fired when they get back because their employers saw them attending these activities. And so that's the kind of thing that's really starting to emerge is employees thinking they have free speech rights and can do whatever they want, and employers trying to protect not only their business, but their reputation online being associated with particular employees.
Now, what should the compliance team be doing to monitor social media, both the company's official feed as well as employee activity? Because, you know, we do need to be mindful that many corporations, you know, virtually every big one at this point has its own social media feed, and that may potentially have risks to it.
Absolutely. So compliance should really be plugged in with the communications or marketing team, whoever it is at your organization that owns social media. For your organization should know and understand the rules from compliance directly on what should be posted, what can be posted. As far as looking outward as to what employees and others are doing on social media, I advocate for, I call it social listening. Someone else probably calls it that too, but it's basically the concept that compliance looks at social media comments on the company's pages. You read Yelp reviews and you read Glassdoor posts and you look to see what people are saying about your organization and see if there's an issue there that needs to be brought up or brought to attention. So in my presentation at the CEI in about a month, actually I think it's 1 month from today, I'll be talking more and give more concrete examples, but you can find really, really solid evidence of compliance mishaps or gaps by looking through what people are saying about your organization on social media.
Now, what's the current state? Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're looking at employee activity, I say don't monitor employee activity because you're just going to go down a rabbit hole. And unless you're going to start monitoring all employee activity, it's not going to work out for you. If something's brought to your attention as offensive, harassment, discrimination, or if someone's trying to act on behalf of the organization without permission, then you act. But I don't think that anyone should put in the time and effort to try to monitor all their employees' activities on social media.
So you mentioned this issue of monitoring one versus monitoring all. What is the current state of the law about monitoring employees and looking also at new hire social media presence?
So you can monitor your employees. You can't ask for their passwords to log into their accounts and monitor them from the inside. But anything that they post publicly, you have the right to monitor. For new hires, I absolutely recommend that everybody do a social media check on new hires. But there is a catch here. Because once you go on someone's social media, you're going to learn a lot of things about them that you can't unlearn. I recommend that you separate the hiring manager from the person doing the social media check. So when I talk about this in my sessions, I say, if you go on my Facebook, you can see what race I am. You can see my gender. You can see my marital status. You can see that I go to whiskey tastings, so I'm probably not pregnant, and I hate cilantro, which is a genetic trait. Now you have to make an argument that you didn't use any of these things against me for a hiring decision. And that can be a big burden because you can't unknow these things about me. So if the hiring manager doesn't do the search, but rather someone else does with a checklist or guidelines, then the hiring manager is insulated from any sort of claim that they went on social media and used inappropriate factors in a hiring decision. If you come to my session at the CEI, I'll actually give you the checklist we use.
That's great. And so basically, I think what you're saying is when it comes to looking at the social media for a new hire, it's better to have a person who's looking only at those things that would be disqualifying for legal reasons to look at them and just say there's nothing there or there is an issue and not share anything beyond what are those things that may be disqualifying, correct?
Exactly. So I call it the red flags checklist. You want to look if the person has obvious nudity on their social media, if they talk about lying or committing crimes, or there's just general red flags, a lot of partying and that kind of thing. Nothing that is a protected characteristic, but things that would raise red flags if you found them in a background search or if they came up in an interview.
Right, and keep out the, I'm joking about it, but keep out the cilantro and other genetic issues. So now, are there any good examples of compliance programs using social media in a positive way?
Absolutely. If you go on Twitter, you will see NCAA schools, their compliance programs tweet and have social media down to a science because compliance is so important for the players to be able to play. And it's basically important to the bottom line of the schools. They've really built programs that reach out to the students where they are. So they stopped being on Facebook because Facebook is now for the older folks. I'm in my 30s and I say that as someone on Facebook. And now they're on Instagram and they're on Twitter. The Mayo Clinic also has a Pinterest board that is really, really good, as well as some Facebook and Twitter activity that really promote their compliance practices and their compliance programs.
You know, you raise a very good point there, not just for social media, but for compliance programs in general, which is understand how people are communicating, how they like to communicate, so that you can reach them in a way that's going to be most relevant for them. Because, you know, one, you don't want to be sending out messages to places where people aren't. And secondly, you don't want to send out messages that don't fit for that medium. You know, you don't want to keep tweeting stuff that says learn more, click here, for example.
Exactly.
All good admonitions. Well, Courtney, thanks for sharing those insights here and then at the 2019 Compliance and Ethics Institute. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.